to be able to not only pay attention, but also to be of service. And my service is both in the form and the formless. I am able to work with souls who are both in and out of embodiment. One of our dearly beloved here, her father passed recently, and I was able to, and I am able, to see what happens, what was happening to his soul as he made the transition from the body into the formless. I'm also acquainted with and spend time on the inner planes of divine consciousness, and that means that when I move into the formless, I go into different levels of vibration, and when one enters the inner planes, you are in the place of what I call the sacrosanct, the very heart of consciousness. And I speak in both metaphors and also my own personal experiences. I will not speak about anything which is not my personal experience. I will tell you stories about what happened to me so that you can perhaps not only relate to what I'm saying, but you may have actually had your own experiences. And often people have said to me, thank you for sharing that experience because I had one like that. And often as children, we had some incredibly amazing experiences and we had no one to talk to about them. Yes? I'm sure this has happened for at least some of you in this room, or she wouldn't be here. And that was the joy for me, that we could have these experiences. And when we have them, it helps to validate who we are. So I honor that we're here not only to share who we are as a group, but also the experiences we've had that have brought us to be here in such a group. Okay? So we'll have a few more chairs added, and I want everybody to be able to see me. You know, so just... because I want to see you.
We could put one more in here, too.
Okay. Now, my professional life is as a dancer, and I moved enough chairs to have been a multi-billionaire. So I'm so glad that I can sit here tonight, and someone else can move the chairs. Thank you very much for doing that. Now, I have to make a few announcements. It's very obvious. Please turn off your cell phones. If anybody has a cell phone, don't be embarrassed. Just turn it off. No food or drinks in the room. I think we've already covered that one. And any additional parking is both in the shopping center that's right next to us or on the other side of the church and also across the street. And when the room is filled to capacity, and we haven't started having that problem, but when it happens, I hope that it will, outside we're going to have a light, and my husband, who's not here this evening, had something else to do, is going to make it a red light. So when the red light is on, you'll know that the room is full, okay? And I'm a rather bawdy lady. I'm a quadruple Scorpio. So I just wanted to let you know that one of the things that I had hoped to have in this embodiment was to be the first spiritual mistress of the spiritual bordello. I have a sense of humor. You can laugh. I think that's a funny joke. So I take life very seriously and not very seriously, okay? I want you to know that. Because I think the divine said to me, you have to wear your embodiment lightly. Wear the embodiment lightly. Which means that for many people, they have come into embodiment and they think this is the real deal, okay? That their physical body is who they are. And in truth, we created this vehicle as part of our soul agreements that we made prior to coming into the body, and we said, okay, what are we going to work on this time? Well, I need a body that will allow me to do whatever those aspects are that we said we really wanted to accomplish. And if you'll notice in the room, we have a lot of women. So many of us had said, this time we'd like to come into embodiment with that feminine aspect, so that we could work energetically in a very particular way. And every single person on the planet, whether they acknowledge it or not, is here right now on the planet because of the work that's being done, okay? The transformation of consciousness that is occurring on the planet. And as women, we are carrying that level of birthing through our consciousness, of this level and transformation of consciousness on the planet. And you, those of us who are in male embodiment, all of you have said, we will hold this energy while the feminine does the work that they know how to do. And I appreciate so much having men in the group, because you are holding a level of energy that is very, very important. If it were just we women, we could sit around and talk about it. Yeah? But the guys are the ones who really hold that energy and say, here is the action. And then often we can then be not only those who contribute to the action, but then are shown how we as women can create even further, perhaps more deeply, into whatever that is being created. So the balance that we have, even within ourselves, of our male and female energy is as important as the balance that we have in our lives amongst the men and the women who are with us. Do you need to open the window a little?
Is it okay with you?
Yeah, please go right ahead, surely. So for us now in this room, we have come together to experience who we are if we take this embodiment lightly, if we wear our physical form lightly, and if we remember...
Thank you.
Okay, I was afraid of that. Well, do you want to open the door behind you, Oscar? That would help, and then we could have that air coming in there. Perfect, thank you. So if we are wearing the embodiment lightly, one of the aspects that holds us to do this is our soul. And the theme of what I'll be talking about from time to time and weaving it in and out of all the other things we'll be discussing is how we can live in that soulfulness, live soul fully. And our soul is the divine. It is God. It is, we are that divine essence, that divine presence. And often we forget that that's true. Can we have another chair?
She's come here, Mary.
Okay, there's one right over here, sweetie. So this evening I wanted to read a poem by a mystic. Maybe some of you know about Rumi, our beloved Rumi. If God said, Rumi, pay homage to everything that has helped you to enter my arms, there would be not one experience in my life, not one thought, not one feeling, not one act that I would not bow to. There would be not one experience of my life, not one thought, not one feeling, not any act that I would not bow to. This means, in simple words, that there is no aspect of the life we have lived thus far, no thought we have thought, no word we have spoken, no action we have taken, no presence that we have not known that it would bring us closer to the truth of our being, which is the divine. Now, sometimes we look at what our life has unfolded and we say, how can that be? One more chair. Oscar, if you could give us one more chair. Just, yeah, make a little room. Thank you. Don't you love this choreography? I'm so happy. All these choreographers make my heart sing. Okay, very good. And many of us, we look back on our lives and we say, I wish I'd done that differently. Or perhaps we have held a resentment for a long time, or perhaps we have had someone in our life that we could not fully love. And this is part of the human experience, to understand that we come to a place in our lives, and all of us are approaching it, else you wouldn't be in this room, where we can embrace every experience we've ever had, every person whose path we have ever crossed or they have crossed our path, every thought that we have had, every word that we have spoken, every deed that we have done, every action that we have taken, It has all been so that we can remember one thing, that we are God. Everything leads to that one thing. Now, who doesn't want to hear this? The ego. Our little old egos are running around in there saying, at least mine does from time to time. I'm assuming yours does too. And we go, ooh, that didn't feel very good. And yet we have the storyteller, okay, who is in the left side of our brain that's going to tell every kind of story possible. Now, did y'all have some stories told to you today? I hope so, because that means that you are fully embodying and recognizing when your storyteller is talking, okay? And then in the right side of your brain, which is where the soul speaks, then you hear another voice, a voice that is so calm, so loving, so pure, so beautiful, that when it speaks, and it's not necessarily in words that I am saying this, the soul simply imbues us with this peace, this sense of being within ourselves that is transcendent of our everyday life and all the nitty-gritty, call it the doodah-day of life. Now, the ego has a lot of comments to make about life. Life before, life now, life after, life future. The ego never wants to be in the present. The soul, however, is asking us to be in the presence and to be in the presence with all that we are. Okay? All that we are. Bring everything to the table. And then to be able to hold that in our love and say, perhaps I'm ready to let go of this. I grew up with an angry father. I learned anger from him. I became an angry adult. And when I was choreographing, I would create dances to try and exorcise this anger. And other members of the dance company would say, oh, Mary's doing another sick dance. Because I'd be on the floor just, you know. Which was wonderful because I got to get it out. Get it out, get it out. And I didn't have to do it. I mean, people paid to come and see the ballets. I went far out. This is really good. Because then I would create, when we had 1976, I decided I would do a dance on the Salem witch hunt. And I said, all right, I'm really going to go for it, okay? And I'm going to just do the whole, and you know, and it was really quite a great ballet. And I enjoyed it thoroughly. And I didn't dance it, I just choreographed it. But I said to the dancers, you know, I really want you to feel what it was like, you know, for these, particularly the women who were standing and speaking things that they knew eventually would probably take them to the stake, but they did nonetheless. So I honor that even the career I chose was to look at and to bring into the physical all those energies within me that, as a soul agreement, I had said, I want a dad that has this, and I want a mom who has that, and I want these particular characteristics, because this time I want to not only feel what they are, but I'd also like to heal what they are. I'd like to do both. So the feeling and the healing were two aspects that I knew I had to work on, because I began hearing the voice when I was 6 years old. My first mystical experience was when I was six. So the voice was saying, would you like to let go of your anger? And I say, no, I need it. I need it to survive. Time would go by. I'd say, this voice would say, are you ready to let go of your anger? I'd say, wait. I don't think I'm quite ready. I still have a little something I have to do here. Time passes, and finally, the divine said, are you ready? And I said, I am ready. And then I went through a whole series of mystical experiences, and the anger was gone. And I went through what I would call very deep healing. I also did my psychological work, which was very important because I was raised in a codependent family. And I had to heal that codependency because it was killing me. And I was clear that I had to release it in order to be free to do the level of work that I knew I came here
to
do.
Could you be more clear about that? When you say
codependency,
you were raised in a codependent family.
Yes.
I know what codependency means, but in your family, what did that mean?
Okay. In my family, it meant you do not have anything that you do for self. It must always be done for the other. And you are only there to serve the other. And if you have any sense of doing things for self, then that was condemned. I was told that is not appropriate. We're only here to serve. We must serve. It is the way it is. Now, I chose that. That's part of my soul agreement, that I would come in and I would have this extremely, and it was a very disciplined family, because one of my siblings was very ill. That's why it looked the way it did. So we were taught that this is your service, this is what you do, and there is no awareness of self at all. So I grew up with that. And then when I entered into what I call my practice marriage, not the one I'm in now, but my practice marriage, of course, I had to bring someone into my life with whom I could do what? Become totally codependent, because that's all I knew. And then I realized there are other things, because I was having these mystical experiences and trying to be codependent, and the two just didn't mix. I said, wait a minute, I just really have to get a handle on this. So that was the process. Doing the therapy really helped me to understand where it came from and how I was moving through it, and then how to release it and let go, and to be able to be in a relationship where there was a level of give and take. Now, the soul, my soul, was continually accompanying me through this entire process. And in my creative life, which was very long, I started dancing as a very young child and it went on for 35 years, that was a way of releasing and creatively expressing what was going on for me. And the balance of the creativity and doing my work psychologically and having the inner awareness, it meant that the weaving of this energy was very profound, very profound. And I became awake as a result of all of this, because I could not sleep. I couldn't just close my eyes and say, I'm just going to sleep through the rest of embodiment, because I hadn't made that agreement. This soul agreement I made was, you're going to come in to an environment that's going to give you a lot of things that you're going to need to work on. And I said, okay, that's going to be good. And then, once I could name them, I could change them. Okay, this is a very important thing. If you can name it, you can change it. If you cannot name it, you cannot change it. So the naming of it was very important. And as I named it and changed it, what happened? More and more of that soul energy came into me, because I had room inside me for it. Before, I had just a very tiny amount of room within, because I had all this other business that was going on within me. And I had to let that go in order to be fully aware, moment to moment to moment, of what this energy was that was moving through me and guiding my life, totally guiding my life. I look back at my life and I see that this line of energy has been absolutely on purpose. There hasn't been anything that hasn't served the purpose. But if I had not had my soul accompanying me, I do not know what my life would have looked like. It would not look like what it looks like now. How could it? Okay? So we had this energy in our family, and then I moved through that energy. I did my work. And then, interestingly, as everything began to clear, you know, it was almost like the fog lifted and that constriction that I felt released. And the opening of the heart was so big as a result of what was going on. Because before, I'd had to hold my heart very close, very close. Some of you know this experience, do you not? Where you've had to hold your heart very close, because it was so tender. It was so tender. And there was fear that we could not open our hearts and just let the energy flow. Because as a child, as my therapist said, he said to me, you are the emotional body of your family. No one else could express it, and you did. And you were punished for expressing that. But as I expressed it, of course, it became clear that that was my job. And so I was willing to do it. And also what was happening at the same time, there was an opening that was occurring that was beyond what I could even imagine. And the combination of these energies, of course, was part of my soul agreement. Now, when you have your soul agreements, there's no requirement that you fulfill them. There's not a requirement. But if you know that you have these soul agreements and you're aware of what some of them are, then you might say, which ones have I not yet held and opened to and allowed to blossom? Which ones have I still kept in this tenderness within me? And am I ready now to open and allow that to express however it will express? And it takes great courage to do that. This isn't something that you do if you're not willing to say, I will step into the fire again. I've had a baptism by water, and I've had a baptism by fire. And many of you have had a baptism by fire as well. I am aware of that because I can see. I can see your souls, okay? And I can see your energy fields, and I can see that line of energy. And when you've had that baptism by fire, it really allows you to align in a very different way, not only to what your life was before, but then what your life is going to look like as you step forward into it. So, having said all of that, I want to acknowledge that we are here and are forming in this room at this moment, as soon as you walked in the room, a group soul body. This group soul body is made up of all of our souls. This group soul body has formed. And whether you come back into this room ever again, the group soul body is one with your soul. And you will never, ever again, if you choose, ever feel that you do not have all of us with you. Because our love has brought us here. And this group soul body is so pure and so beautiful. And it will accompany in a way that will be gentle and caring and just in its own exquisiteness. Because all of our souls came here tonight because we wanted to be part of the group soul body. That's one of the reasons that we're here. Now, you may think you're here to hear me talk, but hey, I'm going to talk. But what's really going on in this room, may I tell you? What's really going on in this room is that energy is flowing down into every single one of us. And as much as you want this energy, take it. Breathe it in. Bring it into yourself. I'm here to entertain you and hopefully give you a few little tips about this and that and the other. But what's really going on is the energy that's in this room. And if you don't want it, it will not come unto you. It's very clear. If you want it, it is all, it's just, we're getting massaged with it. And our hearts are going boom, 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 boom. And our heads are going, whew, and our crown chakra is going, pop, 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 pop. And the energy is going, whew, whew, right? All that's happening while we're sitting here. And what I do is to work with the left side of your brain while I'm talking so that your ego conscious mind can be chatting. But you don't have to pay any attention to that unless you want to. What's really being listening, the listening is at the right side of the brain, and that's where the soul communicates. So I am speaking to the right side of your brain, and that energy is going down into your heart, and your heart is just expanding and expanding and expanding. Now, the connection of heart and soul is very exquisite, and many people ask, how do I know that my soul is moving into my heart? You can't know that with the left side of your brain. So the question can't be answered to satisfy your ego conscious mind. How it will be satisfied is when the right side of your brain brings an energy into your heart and you just relax and you feel. And this is a feeling process, not tactile feeling, but an energetic feeling within your heart. And when you feel that energy within your heart, it's almost as though you're being bathed quite literally Every single cell in your body is being bathed with that energy while we're sitting here. And as a result, every single cell, and for all the stars in the sky, that number is the same number as the cells in your body. So when you go out tonight and you look into the starry sky, you will see all the cells of your body there. And that light that you see with every single star is right here. Right here. Okay? That light. Now I see that light. Now you might say, not me. But actually you wouldn't be here unless you knew that the light is right here. Right here. So we are a galaxy of light consciousness. And our body is just this incredible vessel in which the divine just pours itself unceasingly. Unceasingly. And if we realize that even one moment a day, just one moment a day, that's all it takes. Just that thought from the right side of the brain. Ah, there it is. And off you go to do whatever you do with your day. That's all it takes. And to realize that this is how we're moving and having our being in the world is very profound. Because it doesn't mean that we look at another and say, I don't know who that person is. You look at the other and you see the light in them, do you not? That's all we look at when we see another. If we choose to see that, is the light. Just that exquisite light. And it's luminous. And it just pours off everybody's body, whether they want it to or not. Yes? Because that's the nature of being in the embodiment. But we have forgotten many of these things. Mostly because we said, we only want to remember it when we can remember it. And so often in our families, that wasn't what we were remembering. We're remembering other things in our family of origin. Okay? But once we became our true self, then we began to draw on other energies, have we not? And we've brought those energies into us, and our lives have changed. Yes? Okay. So as we move forward tonight, I'd like to have us sit in the silence in our group soul body for just a few moments. And we began this last week, and I'd like to repeat it again. I believe that when we sit in silence, it is to be in our hearts. So I don't really care to call it a meditation because it's actually not that. We are in the silence of the divine. And the heart of Mother Earth, which is below our feet in the center of the earth, if you would allow her incredible love to just flow up through the soles of your feet and come up through your legs and up through your torso and just let that flow up through your crown chakra, okay? So you just feel the love of Mother Earth just coming right up through your body and up through your crown chakra. And then allow that light of love, which is the divine, God, to come down into your crown chakra and down through your body, down through your legs, down through the soles of your feet, and to go into the heart of Mother Earth. So you feel the connection with the Mother as the Earth and the connection of the divine through the crown chakra, through your body, and in your heart, the meeting of these two extraordinarily beautiful energies, the light of Mother Earth and the light of the divine God, resonating in our hearts. And so just sit quietly for a few moments and just be in our hearts. I will now make the calls. I call now for the light of the divine to create a perfect circle of love, light, peace, and joy around all who are present here in the physical and also on the inner planes. I wish to acknowledge and give thanks for all souls who've gathered to be with us, whether in or out of embodiment, and for the radiance in which we find ourselves. Thank you. I call now for the infilling and indwelling of the divine within all of our bodies, planes, and cells. I acknowledge and give thanks for this and for the divine consciousness that is available to us 24 hours a day, unceasingly. Thank you. I call now that we enter into the serene center of our being within our hearts, and there we enter the silence, allowing ourselves to fall more deeply still in love with the divine which we are. Thank you. And every embodiment, thank you for the exquisite manifestation of divine love which is expressing in you, through you, and as you. Thank you, dear beloved Mother Earth. I love you. And I open my heart and I bring you, dear beloved elementals of earth, air, fire, and water, into my heart. Thank you, beloved elementals, for the exquisite manifestation of divine love which is expressing in you, through you, and as you. Thank you, dear ones. Thank you for your union and communion with Mother Earth and your union and communion within every cell of our physical body, for without you we could not exist upon the earth plane. Thank you, beloved elementals. I love you. And I open my heart and I bring the whole of humanity into my heart. Thank you. Thank you, beloved souls. All souls who are in the embodiment now, thank you. I love you. All souls who are leaving the embodiment now, thank you. I love you. And all souls who are coming into the embodiment now, thank you. I love you. And to my soul, thank you. I love you. Thank you, dear beloved souls, for the exquisite manifestation of divine love which is expressing in you, through you, and as you. Thank you. Thank you, dear souls. I love you. And I call now that we allow the divine which we are to gently open our eyes. The calls have been made through the feminine line for almost 100 years. I've been making the calls for almost 40 years. The calls are an aspect of energy to remember and to deepen our experience as we are together. One of the aspects of energy that I'd like to talk about tonight, and it came through, and many of you may know this, there are going to be cards at the back table with pencils, and at the end of the meeting, if you have a question, you can just write it down, and then I will attempt to answer it, however that might be. Okay, we've talked about the opening of the heart and the soul, and this is a very important one, and I'd like to spend some time with it. Why are there so many unevolved people doing so many mean and destructive actions? It's hard to have compassion for the human race. This is a pithy question, but it's one that needs answering, and so I will do that. We have to start at the beginning. We have to go into the formless. Let us assume that we're in the formless right this moment. Okay? We're just going to imagine that we're in the formless. And we're all sitting around and we're saying, now what are we going to do this time? We're a group and, you know, shall we do the ego thing this time? I mean, really do it. Get down there and really do it. And maybe it'll be destructive. How would that be? And since we all know, since we're sitting in the room, that we learn through polarity. When we come to the earth plane, one of the reasons we re-embody is to learn through polarity. So let's say this half the room said, okay, we'll do the negative polarity. And this half the room said, well, we tried the negative last time, we'll do the positive this time. So we all agree. We said, okay, you're going to do the negative, you're going to do the positive. We say, cool, all right. So everybody kind of says, all right, well, you know, I think if I'm born into this family, I'm going to get what I need to really start, you know, being inculcated, taught all the negative things I need to learn. And you say, well, okay, then I think I'm going to choose a family that's going to have a really positive attitude and maybe have service in their lives, so that I'm going to choose to be in that pole. Okay? So the soul, because it is willing to experience what is all illusion. Okay? Oh, we're sitting here in illusion. We look so real, but really it's not real. Okay? It's all illusion. So you say, okay, what I need to do is be born into families where perhaps even the nation is going to be carrying a lot of negative energy. So this would really be good, because it would help me then to fulfill what I'm going to do, which is hold the negative pole. Okay? And you say, okay, they're going to do that. So I need to find a country or families in countries that are really maybe holding a pretty positive pole, so I can experience doing what that is. Okay? Now, we all embody. And we begin our journey on how we're going to be imprinted with negativity, how we're going to be imprinted with the positive. Now, normally, we're imprinted in such a way that we get both. But as we've seen, the polarized energy that's happening on the planet has gotten really powerful. Would everyone agree with that? Nod your heads up and down. Okay. It's really gotten powerful. Okay? So no wonder someone wants to have an answer to this. Now, these two polarities are going to be factions. Countries are going to say, this is our stance. Other countries will pull oppositely. They will say, I'm going to be opposite this. Now, that doesn't mean that everyone in a country which is holding the negative pole doesn't have people of positive consciousness. They do, but they're outnumbered. Okay? And the same thing is true. In the positive countries, there are still going to be people with negative energies, but the positive outweighs the negative in terms of the population. And so, someone over here says, I'm taking this stand. And they take the stand so powerfully that this country says, I've got to be the polar opposite. And conflict can begin, not only between countries of both negativities and countries that are positive, may or may not wish to work together. Okay? You understand? I'm trying to make this very simple. It's very complex, but this is as simple as the divine is teaching me how to teach this tonight. Okay. So as we move and grow, the opportunity to have greater experiences of the heart opening and love may be more here than over here. And all the generations before you will be carrying some of this negative energy, and they will pass it from generation to generation to generation. And likewise over here, there will be positive energy that will be passed from generation to generation to generation. Now, when that deep inculcation, that deep energy is given to children, they will grow to be as negative as the negativity that is held both by the parents, the family, the tribe, the country. And likewise, the positive will grow to the extent of the family, the tribe, the country. Okay? Now, there are those who will say, we have to do what? Defend our beliefs. And this will say, we'll have to defend our beliefs. And then what happens? Conflict happens. And often, it starts way back in history. Not what's happening in this moment today, but what began when they were just tribes, right? And then the tribes grew, and the tribes became nations, and those nations held those energies. And the same is true. Individuals, tribes, families, gathering, and the energy was set. And when we have seen war, and we see war now, tremendous conflicts, the beliefs of one and the beliefs of the other are still being held very, very powerfully, are they not? Do you agree with that? Mm-hmm. The beliefs are charging what's happening on the earth plane right now. And as a result of that, we are watching the unfoldment of these very ancient energies. And what are we asking of ourselves? What are we asking of ourselves? Here we are in this room. What are we asking? That we can have compassion for this and for this. And if we have compassion, and if we deeply allow ourselves to know what is going on within the negative and what is going on within the positive, we do not have to say, I judge the negative. We can relinquish judgment and have compassion. Now, this is huge. We have to expand our consciousness tremendously to be able to hold the negativity that is unfolding on the planet at this time. And at the same time, have compassion for ourselves that we would be willing to hold the polar opposite. Now, within us, we all have these energies. I'm describing them as countries and tribes and individuals, but we all have that in us. We do, absolutely. But the truth is that we have chosen, we have made conscious choices about where we are going to be, yes? What we are going to hold. So when someone tells me this and this is happening, and I say, I will practice my compassion. I will practice holding this. Because I know from whence it came and how it came about. And I know that my holding it, not in the negative or positive, but simply in a place of neutrality in which love can exist totally, totally. Now, how did I learn that? Years ago, and many of you know the Ayatollah Khomeini? You know who I'm speaking about? The Ayatollah Khomeini. Okay. Years ago, the Ayatollah was just haranguing and saying America this and America that and we're the infidels and so on and so forth. And I was going to a meeting that night that someone was giving, and I was getting all juiced up around this. I said, who does he think he is? And blah, 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 and da, 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 you know? I hadn't done a lot of work at that time. It was years ago. And boy, I was just ready to put my dukes up. I said, oh, you know, this is just terrible, terrible. And my soul said to me, dear, you need to bless him and thank him and acknowledge that if he were not holding this position, you might be holding that position. And I got down on my knees and I said, oh my God. So this is the deal. And that's the deal. There is not one person on the planet, not one, that we cannot hold compassionately if we understand what they agreed to do. They agreed to do that they would hold that. Absolutely they would hold that. And I said, I would hold what I am doing. But that does not mean that I am excluding them from my consciousness. On the contrary, I want to thank them. I met a man once, a teacher, and he said, how many of the people in this room have blessed everybody who's in prison? Raise your hand. Well, not a hand went up. He said, do you understand that they are doing what they are doing so that you can do what you are doing? Exactly the same thing as the Ayatollah Khomeini, darlings. They are doing what they are doing so that we can be doing what we are doing. And we all have these very deep soul agreements. And once you understand how precious it is that we can come in this room and sit in this room and say whatever we want to say and do whatever we want to do, and there's no one to say, you know, you never have to come back if you don't want to be here. Wonderful! We've chosen to be in the United States of America. Unbelievable! And we said, we want to have the freedom to be who we are every moment. Every moment. And the divine said, then you better choose this one right over here. Because once you're here, you're going to have it all. You're going to have it all. And then, if you choose, if you really want to do the service, you will open to the compassion of everyone who has chosen to hold the opposite pole. The opposite pole. Okay? Now, if we're truly holding this, then we will look upon anyone and everyone with great compassion. And we will say, thank you. You have said that you would do this thing. And it is a very hard thing that you are doing. And we bless you for it, because you are fulfilling that which was to be created, and we are fulfilling that which was to be created and is right here on the earth plane at this moment.
So somebody who murders somebody is holding the negative, and you thank them for holding the negative.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because if we do not thank them, who is going to thank them? Who is going to honor who they are and what they have come to do? It is a huge responsibility that we have taken on, that we would expand our consciousness sufficiently to hold not only every person on the earth plane, regardless of what it looks like in their embodiment, but also Mother Earth. We're in the process of enfolding Mother Earth as never before. The reason that the internet and all of our cell phones and everything else is existing at this time is because that is the mind of Mother Earth. We are now the mind of Mother Earth. Okay? We used to just live on her. But now, we're the mind. And where is the heart of Mother Earth? Can anybody show me where it is? Thank you! Put your hand on your heart. Put your hand on your heart. This is it. This is the heart of Mother Earth. This is Earth. This is Earth. Okay? When I made the calls, I talked about the Earth. We are dust. We are bone. We are fluid. When we cry, when we bleed, we are the water. We're the Earth, the water. We're all of it. It's right here, right here. So when we say, my heart is open, or when we say, oh, I feel so good in my heart, or when we say, I've got a heart full of whatever, then that is a realization that you're connecting with everyone on the planet, everyone at the heart level. When I call for humanity and all the souls that are on the planet, I don't just call for them in some sort of, you know, airy-fairy way. I call for them because every single soul on the planet is me. Right? Every single soul is me. I'm not separate from any of them. I'm not separate from any of you. All of our souls are one amazing group soul body that is embodied exactly to be on this planet together. Now that's wonderful. We've all said, we raised our hand and we said, we're all going to be together. When this moment comes, we're all going to be together. And we all said, yeah, I want to do that. I want to be there. Why do you think we're here? We're here because we said, yes, we will do this. So our group soul body is profound. We're the group soul body all the way around the planet. We're the group soul body of Mother Earth. We are this incredible living consciousness. And you pick up your cell phone and you can call any place in the world. And when they want to riot someplace, they get on their cell phones. They say, we're rioting now. And the governments are going, could we please just not have these cell phones? I mean, you can't get away with anything now. You understand? So the heart of the mother is just fully embracing us, and we are fully embracing that. So when I awaken in the morning, I bless the fact that I am awake in the morning. I am awake. I'm awake. And that I will move through the day with that consciousness and bring that to me and to everyone that I am with. Okay? Now, do I have to talk about it? No. What do I do? Here's a great teaching. To show up and be lovingly present, no matter what it looks like, out there or inside yourself. Now that's huge. I will repeat it. To show up. That is the biggest thing we ever do, is to show up, folks. If we show up, everything else will change, will it not? Show up. And be, it's a very important word, be lovingly present, no matter what it looks like out there or inside ourselves. So if I want to have compassion for these huge polarities that are occurring on the earth plane, all the wars, there's more than one war going on here, all the wars that are going on around the planet, it is my prayer, it is my service that I will show up and be lovingly present no matter what it looks like out there or inside myself. And if you decide that you want to practice that, everything that you never expected will come into your life, both negative and positive, because it wants to be loved. That's the deal. Everything wants to be loved. Sometimes it just doesn't even know it. War doesn't know it because it has a whole other function that it's doing right now. Peace knows it. But peace also has many faces, does it not? And in between the war and the peace, there is another place. Because here are these polarities, yes? And in the middle is this neutrality. And in neutrality, what we do is open and we embrace both polarities because we know that both polarities are serving, else they would not exist. All polarities exist because they are in service. And when they no longer are in service, they will simply pass away and there will no longer be a polarity. Now there's a third position. You come up to the top of the triangle. You see we're here, the two polarities, here's neutrality. And you come up here, and from this place, I call it at-one-ment, being one with all that is. Now I'm a mystic, and I'm speaking for my mystical consciousness, and you may say, oh my Lord, what is she talking about? It's okay, your soul knows exactly what I'm saying. So, here you are. Here you are in at-one-ment, all right? Now, when you're in at-one-ment, there ceases to be the polarities. Why? Because you've embraced them, you see. So they no longer have to exist in separation. You have now embraced them. And you have acknowledged, I am one with all that is. Now, doing that means that every polarity that you haven't embraced is going to come up, right? Uh-huh. And every time it does, you're going to go, oh, I missed you. Oh, come right on in here. Come on, come on, come on. All right, let's have a little talk, you and me. Okay, here's one I missed. All right, come on, come on. Okay, okay, okay. I'm getting it. Oh, yeah, that feels much, much better. Okay? So you're constantly being brought to, and it is brought unto you as well, any aspects that you have not yet fully embraced. And life is full of those. And they can be very subtle. Ooh-wee. The ego is this wily thing that just knows how to manipulate and control and judge and criticize and bring fear into our lives. Now, what is fear? Fear is the withholding of love from yourself or another. That's what fear is. Fear is the withholding of love from yourself or another. Now, I can raise my hand that I have experienced fear in this life. And when the divine gave me the knowing of what fear was, I said, can I love this? So, I was given an opportunity to practice. This was some years ago. I'm walking down the street. This is in L.A. And I'm with an elderly woman who was a fine artist. She's now passed on. And walking toward us were these two big, gigantic guys. And, you know, they had the tattoos and they had, you know. And my friend Doris said, Mary, we need to go across the street. I said, dear, if we go across the street, we will demonstrate our fear. I said, what if we just walk toward them and just be calm and be in our hearts? And she knew that this was my practice. And she said, I don't know if I can do that. And I said, well, then I will do it for you and for me. Okay, you just hold my hand, and we're just going to walk along, and these two big guys are going to come toward us, and we're just going to be fine. And, you know, and she's just, you know, her hand turns to ice and she's shaking. I said, it's going to be all right, Doris. And, of course, in my heart, it's going, I said, oh, Lord, please be with me and let me hold this energy, you know. So I'm holding the love and, you know, and they're just, you know, how they, you know, just, and they're big. And, you know, with one swat, man, we'd be gone. Just, so I said, all right, just hold the line, Mary, and here we go. So I'm holding her hand. And they're holding up, they're at the whole sidewalk, you know? And we're going to have to stop because we can't, I'm not going to go in the street because that's not what I'm being told on the inner. I'm just supposed to walk right up to them. So we walk right up to them, and, you know, they look down on the two of us, and they get these big smiles on their face. And then one of them says, good evening, ladies. And I go, oh, God, thank you. Oh, and they just part the waters, you know? They part the waters, and then and we smile, and we walk through, and they go on their journey, and we go on our journey. And I said, oh, I see how this works. If I am able to go beyond my fear, then only love can meet me. Only love can meet me. But if I go in fear, then only fear will come to me. Like will have like. Fear will come unto me. But because we were able to move in love, they were able to receive that love. And then there was love between us. It was so beautiful. And I've had other experiences like that where it's a fear of survival. It's quite true because when I was traveling and dancing and so on and so forth, I had many situations where I thought, okay, here's this moment. This moment has come. Can you be lovingly present with no fear? No fear. Do not withhold your love from yourself or another. No fear. And again and again and again, the love has come immediately. It was I who needed to change, not the situation or the people around me. It was I. And the moment I changed, it changed. Now I know that many of us have had experiences where we did change in that moment so that something else could happen.
Well, have you ever decided to turn around?
No.
You've always just gone forward.
Because, remember, I have the voice within. And the voice within says, step forward. Do this. And I must follow without hesitation. Because that's why I have the voice within. I have committed myself years ago that I would only listen to the voice. And it would not be the voice of my ego, which would say, turn around and run like hell. No. I said, no, I am going to stay on the path. And whatever comes on the path is that which I am to meet. And as a result of that, the whole universe changes. The whole energy of the consciousness changes. And I am not at the behest of the energies that are around me. Rather, I enfold them. I had an experience, and it was at the French Festival here in the park. I was going to meet my friends who were having an exhibit there. And suddenly, everything was coming toward me. And I went, can this be happening? And I was told, yes. Watch how it comes unto you. And I was walking, and yet I wasn't appearing to walk forward. What was happening was everything was coming unto me. And I said, oh, I see. Everything is coming unto us. It appears that we're going toward it, but it is coming unto us. Every experience that we need is coming unto us. Everything. We do not have to go out there and hunt around to try and find it. We just need to stay true to who we are, and it will come unto us. Now, if this is not your experience, that's all right. Now you can say, if you choose, I would like to be on my path and have it, whatever it is that is to come unto me, to come unto me, and it will come unto you. It is what you define as how you want to experience who you are in this embodiment. Yes? We all have that energy, but most of us never are in that place of receptivity for whatever comes. I do not qualify and say, I just want to be all good. No, I say whatever comes, whatever is to come. Because whatever is to come is what? Allowing me to have compassion, love, understanding, and continually expanding my consciousness to embrace that which comes, whatever comes, to embrace it. So where the consciousness was quite narrow, because I had been raised in a family where the consciousness was narrow, and little by little, it is expanded and expanded and expanded and expanded. So as energies come unto me now, I say, oh, so this is what's next. This is coming unto me. And it is for me to embrace it and to accept it as it comes unto me. Because if I do this and say, not that, then I will have to wait a long time before something else will come unto me. Okay? If I let everything release and allow it to come unto me and embrace whatever it is, and this takes a lot of spiritual muscle. One of the things that we will do in this class, if you choose to come again, is to build your spiritual muscle. Most of the things that we do, meditation, it does not build the muscle. It may bring you peace, it may bring you calmness, it may give you some wonderful aspects of energy. But the Divine said to me, in this life, you're going to have the opportunity to lift a great weight. What would you rather do? Would you rather lift a 500-pound weight once, or would you rather lift 5-pound weight 100 times? I said, I want the 5-pound weight, thank you very much. Now, before I learned that, thank you, y'all can laugh. I mean, I think it's a pretty entertaining thing that finally, I mean, can you see Mary lifting the 500-pound weight? Yes, I tried to do that. I absolutely did. Something came unto me, I said, I can lift that. And I got completely wiped out. Couldn't lift it. But then when the Divine said, just lift that 5-pound weight every day, even if just once a day, just lift it. Something that you couldn't love before, 5 pounds. Something that you judge in yourself, 5 pounds. Loving yourself more fully, 5 pounds. Not criticizing, blah, 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 5 pounds. You understand? Every thought we have, one lift of that weight. I was raised with critical parents. I'll get to you in just a moment. I was raised with very critical parents. I became very critical of myself. And I had to lift a lot of 5-pound weights to be able to love myself. Okay?
So isn't it important to try to strike a balance between rest and activity?
Oh, definitely.
Meditation and the
weight. Yes, and meditation is for rest and renewal and all kinds of wonderful things. This is when you're living your life, okay? You get caught in a traffic jam and you're in a hurry and you just go, okay? Anybody know about that besides me? Thank you. All right. So, 5-pound weight. Instead of, you lift your 5-pound weight and say, I'm in the perfect place. This is the perfect situation. And as you all know from last week or 2 weeks ago, when I'm in a traffic jam, the Divine has said to me, this is the time that you get to bless every person in every single car in this traffic jam. Please begin. And I just start sending the blessings out. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And before you know it, it begins to move. The Divine said, please stand in the longest line you can find. I said, you've got to be kidding. I'm a quadruple Scorpio. You want me in the longest line? Okay. I stand in the longest line. The Divine said, now, you see the moment that you have now to bless every single person in this line. And then when you get to the checkout or the teller in the bank or wherever the line is, you get to bless them too. Here are the moments of loving, of being one with humanity, being one with all that is. And we're given all these moments and they just fly by. We don't have the consciousness to be able to hold them in a loving way. All the things that happen in our life, every single one, has been perfectly choreographed so that we can wake up. And I mean really wake up. I mean full bore. All the time, every moment. So this is just an exercise to build our spiritual muscle. Because something will come into our lives which will not be necessarily love, light, peace, and joy. It may be very hard. But if you are given this opportunity, then you can use that spiritual muscle and you can be present for even the most difficult thing. The most difficult thing. I work a lot with people who are dying, and I work a lot with the souls who have passed over. I work energetically with all of humanity. Every morning, I do my calls, which you have heard, and I bring the whole of humanity, regardless of race, religion, creed, war, peace, any of it. I bring all of humanity into my heart. I do not exclude anyone so that I can learn what that feels like. I bring Mother Earth into my heart. Why? Because what she has done for me, unbelievable. The air I breathe, the earth I walk upon, the food I eat. I could not exist without her. And yet here we are. And to bless her and love her and acknowledge her, she is a living being, and she will speak to you, and she will show you the miraculous that is just beyond the beyond. She will do this unto us. All we have to do is just open and say, I'm here, and I love you. So how does that feel?
Yeah.
Feels good? Okay. Now that feel good is part of the heart opening, and you're allowing yourself to say, okay, let's say tomorrow a moment will come up, either in your mind or in your body or as you're going through your day, a moment that feels a little less than love, okay? A little less than love. And just to be aware of that and say, here's something that's a little less than love. Okay. And how shall I be with that in this moment? And it goes like a flash. These moments go just like a flash, so you have to be very attentive. And then, in that moment, you can change the energy within yourself. And it will change the energy that's happening out here. Okay? Maybe not immediately, but you will find that there is more gentleness, more kindness, more laughter, more immediacy. We had a really great time in Boston, and I call it loving on people. I just wanted to love on everybody. It was just so much fun. And I just, it's a Southern thing, I think, to just love on people. But I just loved on everybody. And I didn't have to they didn't have to ever know who I was. That wasn't the point. The point was that I could just be present and just send my love to all of them, everybody. In every meeting, every hallway, in the elevator, where we had food, it didn't make any difference. And even if I couldn't speak the language, everybody's speaking Chinese. Did that make any difference? No, because love knows every language perfectly. And if you love on someone, even if they go, they'll do that. They'll turn away because it's hard. If you haven't ever been loved and someone loves on you just for that instant, you won't necessarily know what to do. But the next time, you probably won't turn away. You'll go, and then you'll turn away. You'll have the moment, You'll have the moment, then you might turn away. That's okay. You see what I'm saying? You don't have to expect, that it's going to be reciprocated in any way. That's not why we do this. It isn't because, if I love on you, you're going to love me back. No, that has nothing to do with it at all. No. Now, we would like it to be that way, wouldn't we? But no, actually, it's just this. And if it's reciprocated, we go, oh, what a lovely moment. And if it's not, we go, gosh, I just had a lovely moment. I just had a lovely moment with the soul of that person or the soul of all these people, regardless of what their energy happened to be. Because I have no expectation around the other, none. And that allows me to be completely free to give my love, okay? Completely free. Often, the ego says, tit for tat, if I do this, and you got to do that. Did anybody grow up with that besides me? Oh, yes. I grew up with a dit, 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 right? And if it wasn't pretty equal, then the ego got really upset and said, well, wait a minute, I did this and this and this and this, and you only did that. Remember, this and this, right? Now, to let that go is really big, really big. Because in our life, we go, oh, I don't know. Am I getting what I need? Well, if you give, you will get what you need. And it doesn't have to be exteriorly. It will be interiorly. And your soul is so happy to be able to give. so happy. I cannot even tell you the joy. But you can feel that joy when you give that freely and without any need at all whatsoever for any return of any kind at all whatsoever. So I'm obliged in this moment to honor the graciousness of all of you for being here and for listening. And I see in your faces and in your countenance that many of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Okay? So the next time you hear about any of the wars, and we're in a political harangue right now, are we not? Yeah, with the presidential election. And so we get to watch that and have great compassion for both of these men and what they are moving toward, however that's going to look, for the wars that are going on, for all the poverty in the world, all the disease in the world, all the loneliness in the world, all the hatred in the world. And your love is the most powerful thing on the planet. Your love is the most powerful thing on the planet. There is nothing more powerful than your love. And once you realize that your love is the most powerful thing on the planet, then all you do is just give your love. And you give your love every moment, all the time. And when I sit in the silence, I know that it is just in love that I'm doing this. That is why I do it, for the love. And that deep sense of being and the moments of not doing, so that I may cherish the being that I am. And in the silence, or meditation, or prayer, contemplation, all of these things I do, I can receive that deep, deep love that the soul and the divine are bringing to me all the time. That connection that we build. And it's like this wonderful Qigong master. He said, every time you practice the Qigong, you lay down one thin sheet of rice paper every time you practice. He said, at the end of your life, you will stand on the mountaintop that you have created. Okay? So every time you love another, you lay down a thin sheet of rice paper. Every time in prayer, contemplation, meditation, every time you smile at someone, every time you recognize the suffering of another and you bring love to that suffering, every single thought you have, if it is one that is based on love, you will lay down this thin sheet of rice paper. And at the end of your life, when you transition, you'll transition from the mountaintop of the mountain that you have created. And the transition for all of us, regardless of when it happens or how it happens, if we have begun, then that is how we will move into the formless. And Trudy, if I may share about your dad just for a moment, Oscar said, Trudy's dad had just passed over. We were in the car going down to the airport. And I looked in, and I was sharing this with Trudy. I said, to see her father in as he moved, and it was like the most beautiful sunrise or sunset that you've ever seen in your entire life. It was like just this extraordinary energy on the inner planes as her dad made his transition. It was so amazing. And you see, his soul is fully in at-one-ment. We're all going into at-one-ment, but we can experience at-one-ment while we're here. You see, that's the beauty of it. We don't have to wait until we leave the body to have this at-one-ment right now. Okay? And our practice is L-O-V-E. Mm-hmm. And compassion. I love the description of compassion, which is that I can be with the other where they are. I can be with the other where they are. Not where I am, but where they are. And that is how I gain the compassion that I bring back from that experience, you see? I have even more compassion for myself once I have been where the other is. And even if I have not experienced it, I will still know it. I went to Dachau many years ago, and when I walked in, I knew that I had had an embodiment where I had been there and I had been killed. And it just rooted me. And I just went, oh my goodness. And I felt that energy as though it were just enfolding me, really enfolding me. And I just stood there and I called for the energy to come in so that I could bless every single soul who had been there and experienced that. And so it was that I saw every single soul who had been through that experience, including my own. And it was so beautiful to see these souls so fully realized, and what they represented and the service that they performed, because at the level of soul, it was service. At the level of humanity, it was death and torture and deep, deep sorrow. But at the level of soul, it was service. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
We serve deeply, deeply, deeply in our soul awareness. And we serve in so many different ways. But to open to that requires that we wear the embodiment lightly. We cannot wear it heavily. If we believe that this is the deal, it's going to be hard. But if we say, I just put this on every day and walk around, and I'm having a good time walking around, because what happens is I live it lightly, I'm wearing it lightly enough that I can just open it up and send the love out and just be however the moment calls for me to be, you know? I just wear it lightly, just lightly. So how does that feel? Does that feel like something you can practice this week? I mean, you know, and when it gets heavy, you say, ooh, wait a minute, I'm wearing it lightly now, wearing it lightly now. And the next time you're in a traffic jam or a stoplight or a line, you can say, I have my little cart with the groceries and I'm going up to, you know, and maybe while I'm doing that, I can spend a moment just to send love. Just to send love, you know. Every time I walk through a doorway, one of my practices is every time I walk through a doorway, like I'm going to the potty or I'm going wherever I'm going, right? And I just take that moment as I step through that doorway or I get in my car, you know, in and out of your car, there's a doorway, and I just say, I enter into love. So when I walked in the door tonight, I said, I enter into love. Went through that doorway, I enter into love. I enter into love. So I make it palpable through a practice. I think it's really important that you have whatever practice you choose to create and you do it on a daily basis and you make it something that's part of your life so that it's not a mental thing, you know, where you just think about it, but you actually have a physical action that you take every day that brings you back to that place of love. And if you do it, you'll find that it really gets to be a pleasure, a great pleasure, so that you enter each day.